Today's focus passage is once again the Ten Commandments, where we will be honing in on the Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal. But once again, you're welcome to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 as we read the Ten Commandments in their entirety as they tie in so much with each other. Exodus 20 says, "Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." I've told a few of you this already, but when I was meeting with Buddy Corbin, who was our guest preacher last week, I told them that he was welcome either to preach his own sermon, that I could just come back to the sermon series afterwards, or he could jump right in with my sermon series. And he said, "Well, I'd like to go along with your series. You're doing the Ten Commandments, so what week are we on?" I said, "Well, we're on week 7, you shall not commit adultery. You still want to do that, or you just want to come back?" So I'm thankful that Buddy was receptive and able to give a sermon last week on you shall not commit adultery. I know he did a good job, and I don't have to give it. So there we go. We'll move on to stealing. You shall not steal. Thank goodness all of these commands are so black and white, right? You shall not steal. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It helps when things are black and white. There's no nuances to anything. But we've looked for gray areas, haven't we? With all of these commandments, we have thought about, well, what are the gray areas? Where are the areas where I could maybe get away with this or not call it stealing? Maybe it's sharing. Maybe it's a lawful repossession. How can we get away with breaking this commandment and not feeling too bad about it or not needing forgiveness of it? I don't know if any of you really took part in this. As I look around the room, I'm guessing there may be a minority, but in the late 90s, there was something called music sharing over the internet. There were programs such as Napster. Okay, Napster was a program where you could download your music, put it on a CD, off of a CD, and then put it on a server, a network, so that anyone from around the world could come in and grab that music. It was called file sharing. File sharing. We shared our music with one another, but in all technicality, it was rampant stealing of music. Or was it? We were sharing. Did you used to ever make a copy of a song on a tape and give it to somebody? You're just sharing your music, right? I was once at a concert where the artist who was playing at that time held up a CD of their music and said, "If you see this CD in a store, you'd better go ahead and steal it because we're not seeing a dime of that money." He didn't use those exact words. I can't repeat all of them here. But he was saying, "No, go ahead and take the music. We're not seeing it. Our record producer's getting all the money." He was telling us to steal the CD because they would rather us hear their music than give money to these greedy corporate record producers. So music sharing was a big thing in the 90s until there were many lawsuits and many bands and musical artists came in and said, wait, you've got to pay for our music. This is how we make a living. You can't just copy music and then give it to someone else time and time again. And so eventually that, what we call music sharing, became illegal. It was technically illegal at the time, but it became more illegal. But once again, it wasn't just related to internet or sharing CDs. Like I said, many of you have probably copied a song on a tape and given it to someone. When you rented a video, back in the day when you would rent a VHS video, yes, I remember those days, you would rent it, and there would be that FBI warning that would say, you shall not sell or distribute this video. Now, some of you may have figured out a hack where you could hook up two VCRs or maybe your camcorder to it, and you could actually record the rented video onto a blank video. I asked my dad about that once. He said, no, it's okay as long as you don't try to sell it. Don't go to the FBI, my dad, please. He doesn't deserve it. He thought he was doing what was okay, but technically it was not okay. In the church world, have you ever heard of CCLI? Is that right? Is it CCLI license that every church has to obtain? Because every song we use in this place, every video we use in this place is licensed. Now, a lot of the hymns that you have in your hymn book, many of them are public domain now. We can use them and share them as much as we like. Some of the songs in the hymn book are not yet public domain. And so every year, I think Ron or myself gets a letter from the CCLI saying, which songs did you sing in the past year? And we pay a fee for that. And we have to be careful when we share video clips. We have to be careful if we show a movie, making sure that we're not doing it illegally. A lot of churches several years ago got in trouble because they were having Super Bowl watching parties. By the way, we had that here. I had it at other churches. And some companies came in and said, no, you can't do that. That is illegal. You're stealing from the cable company by broadcasting something to many people who have not paid for that service. So thank goodness stealing is black and white, right? Makes it so easy. As much as we profess black and white, gray area creeps into almost every area of our lives. Yeah, there are things that out of our personal convictions we see as black and white. There is right or wrong, there is yes or no, legal or illegal. But gray area creeps into so much of our lives, and stealing may be the most obvious culprit of this gray area. For instance, you may say, when I pay my taxes, my money's being stolen. It may be legal, but it's being stolen. Or as an employer, you might say, well, my employee stole from me because they were lazy and didn't do the work they were being paid to do. They took too long a lunch or took too many personal days. You might say, they stole from me or from my company or the company I work for. You might give your offering. And you might say, that sermon wasn't good enough. The preacher stole from me today. But stealing also takes on more than just material goods, doesn't it? It's about more than just money or possessions. Other things can be stolen as well. In fact, this week, in many ways, we've watched hearings and news about those who feel that something has been or is being stolen from them, from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. There's mention of stealing dignity, of robbing people of their humanity, of stealing privacy, of stealing decency from someone. No matter how you feel about how the events have unfolded in the past week, stealing, though that word may not have been used this past week, is much at play as we watch the news. Stealing, taking that which does not belong to you or that which is not lawfully yours. Make you feel a little better. In the ancient world, stealing was also kind of a gray area. Stealing wasn't just about stealing from someone's bank account or stealing someone's property or their livestock. Some scholars believe this particular command, you shall not steal, was referring specifically to a person. You shall not steal a person, is what some scholars believe this particular commandment was actually speaking to. Because there were legal boundaries into how you could take or remove a person from somewhere else. And so the legal boundaries are there. You may take someone under these circumstances, or if you are indebted in this way, you may take someone. But this really goes back to human dignity, does it? Doesn't it? The taking of possessions, the taking of money, the forceful taking of money or possessions or materials, in many ways, goes beyond the materialism itself and reaches deep into our soul and deep into our person. Have any of you been stolen from before? My guess is that most of you have been stolen from at some point in some way, shape, or form. And while, yes, you may have wanted justice, you may have wanted that item back or that money back or your credit back, whatever it is, would you say that you also lost something in your soul when someone stole from you? Do you feel like someone stole a part of you, a part of who you are? You shall not steal goes so far beyond don't break what the law says about stealing. That's an overly simplistic notion of stealing, especially in light of Jesus Christ. And though Christ came to fulfill the law, I think Jesus was much less concerned about the legal aspects of stealing and more about the implications that go beyond the act itself. The kingdom that has come because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus takes on a whole new dimension. In light of Christ, stealing goes way deeper than law or legality. When you read, "You shall not steal," the wrong question might be, what is legally stealing? What is legally not stealing? The right question that Jesus asks us to consider is to make me aware of the times I am attempting to rob someone of their materials, but also of their humanity, of their dignity, of their personhood, of their character. Jesus is asking us to go well beyond the surface when Jesus talks about stealing or possessions. Jesus is saying stealing is not just about dollars and cents. Stealing is about compromising another human being. Stealing is about compromising one of God's creations. Stealing is about so much more than the material. But of course, it manifests itself in that way, doesn't it? It might be a good starting point to get back to the root of the word. When we are told, don't steal, we're ultimately hearing, don't be tempted by materialism. Don't put yourself in that position. In Hebrews 13, we read, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When we follow Jesus Christ, we have all we need. No, that doesn't mean that we can't be poor. It doesn't mean that we can't be in want of life's most basic necessity. And Lord knows there are too many individuals like that in our community and around the world. But Jesus is saying to those who have, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. I remember in high school, I had a class of 50, and about 10 of my classmates were expelled when I was a sophomore or junior. There was an outdoor club, and they went off to a ski trip. And they, when they were there, attempted to shoplift different ski items and clothing and things like that. I don't think I told you, I went to a very affluent private school back in Kentucky, and I can promise you that these students, my classmates, were not stealing out of need. They could have gone home and probably said, Mom, Dad, I really need some new skis, and they could have gotten them pretty easily. Mom, Dad, I need some new ski wear. I need a new ski mask. And they could have gotten it, trust me. But there they were in a place where they were tempted to get more, to obtain more. So they took part in that, and they were all caught, thankfully, and they were expelled. It's easy to put ourselves in a situation such as that. No, not that you would do something like that, but to just want more, to think I've got to have more at whatever cost. Our attachment to stuff drives us to want more and more and more, and that compromises us and ultimately drives us to compromise someone else. If we can get our hands on it, even if it costs someone else something, their dignity or their humanity or their property, by goodness, we're going to get it. We can find ourselves in that position, unfortunately. I think that's why there's something very valuable in the spiritual discipline of simplicity. About a year or two ago, not too long after I got here, we had a sermon series on the spiritual disciplines. You probably remember some of those, such as prayer, meditation, Bible study, silence. But there's a spiritual discipline in simplicity. We don't really think of simplicity as a spiritual discipline. We think, well, maybe that's a lifestyle you want to live. You want to be simple. Great. Good for you. But a simple lifestyle is much of what we're being asked of in the Scripture. It's saying, be content with what you have. You don't need an excess of stuff. Live simply. Eat as much as you need to eat and don't gorge yourself. Buy clothes, but you don't have to have a whole room dedicated to it. Buy a car, but you don't need 50 Jay Leno. No offense to Jay Leno. Great guy, I'm sure. Where does it stop? Once again, this isn't about legal stealing. I would never accuse someone who wanted many cars that they stole or that they did something illegal. But I might say to anyone who has such an excess of materials, do you really need all that? Is that necessary for living and living out the abundant life that Jesus promises us? Jesus turns stealing on its head. Jesus isn't simply satisfied to tell us, just think back to the Old Testament and remember, you shall not steal. Jesus goes on to say, give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes from your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. Jesus is turning this whole concept of stealing straight on its head and saying, you know what? You're probably going to be stolen from at some point down the road. And instead of responding by trying to steal it back, just give them more. He's saying, give them the coat off your back. Give them your excess. Jesus is being subversive with this command. He's saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says, even when stolen from, even when your character is compromised, don't lose that spirit of generosity and compassion that you find in Jesus Christ. It's a tough area, isn't it? Most of you are going to walk out of this room. You're not going to have a problem walking into a store knowing the legalities of stealing or not stealing when you head to Ingles. You're not going to have any trouble with that. But generosity, compassion, that's a little tougher. What do we keep for ourselves as opposed to what do we give to others? What do we maintain for ourselves as opposed to what do we freely choose to give to my neighbor? How much is too much? Those are questions we need to wrestle with as Christians. It goes beyond, of course, simply our day-to-day choices. We often talk about our economy, our worldly systems, about whether or not they are just, whether or not they are the best way, whether or not they are the most compassionate or fair economic system, then I'm in no position to call anything like capitalism or socialism, progressive tax, flat tax, regressive tax, wealth distribution. I can't stand here before you today and say which one of those Jesus would want you to live by, or which one Jesus has the greater problem with, or which one Jesus doesn't like or likes. My guess is that Jesus probably isn't in too favor of any of those, but that Jesus says, here's what you can do, no matter the circumstance or the economy or the government or the country you live in, here's how you can be generous. Here's how you can refrain from stealing. That doesn't mean we work towards the bigger picture, but Jesus calls us to be responsible in our own way and in our own communities. So, church, I ask you, what are we going to do to create a more generous church and society? What are we going to do to eliminate desperation and want in Black Mountain so that there is no place for stealing in our world? We begin with the assumption that we will not steal. And we move on then to say, how will we instead be generous? How will we be generous to the poor, to the oppressed, and to the sick, to those who can't afford it themselves? And then we should also ask, what precious resources are we keeping to ourselves? No, I'm not accusing you or this church or Christians of stealing, but I am asking, where is our abundance that we can share with those who are desperate? What kind of time do we have? What kind of skills do we have to offer? What are our finances? These Ten Commandments are not about finding the grays and running with them. These Ten Commandments are not about saying, well, where can I get away with stealing? These Ten Commandments are not about, well, how can I get away with not practicing the Sabbath today? These Ten Commandments are not about, well, where is it okay to lie or to give falsehoods? There's got to be some gray area, right? If that's how you view the Ten Commandments, then you are missing the point largely, especially in light of the coming of Christ. Because through the eyes of Jesus, these commands and today's command, you shall not steal, are much more about giving and compassion. They're much more about giving life and giving dignity and trust to others in the name of Jesus. They're about growing community, growing in community, and because of our actions, because of our choices not to steal, but to give, and because of our choice to obey the Sabbath and not run ourselves dry on a holy day, or because of our choices to be truthful and forthcoming, we are showing a different kind of life rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You shall not steal. That's a great start. But Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and destroy. And he has something else to say. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. So yes, church, do not steal. And in the name of Jesus, give life. And give it out abundantly. Let us pray.